Welcome back to the Elaborators, episode 36, believe it or not. It is Simon here, producer Simon sometimes. Today I'm host Simon again. I was going to get Justin in the seat, and then he had a great family need, so off he went, and here I am. This week we are going to talk about living generously still, and in particular with this one, I got some special guests today. I'm going to bring them in early by pressing all the buttons. There they are. Look at those lovely people. You're allowed to speak.
Oh, hey. You muted me before. Yeah, I didn't know what to do.
You're good now.
Hey, do you have one of those buttons at home, Simon?
Yeah. A mute button?
Yeah.
I should probably frame that with some context at some point in this episode. But I do have Pastor Stan in the chair over there. We all know Pastor Stan. He's been around for a long time in the Elaborators podcast. I'll stick to the podcast.
I can't escape, right?
I won't talk about life.
Oh, hey.
And we have Beck Young here in the middle. Full disclaimer, she's my wife.
Yep.
But that's okay.
That's okay. Yeah,
she's the better half.
So is she your wife or are you her husband?
Oh, I'm definitely her husband.
In society, how do you get introduced? Yeah.
Simon Beck. Yeah, it is Simon Beck, yeah. Generally.
I remember the first time.
That sounds better.
When my granddaughter Hattie turned 2 years old, there was a birthday party for all of her friends and everything. And I was introduced as Hattie's Pop-Pop.
There we go.
You know, so it's like, oh, I have no identity anymore. No. She is the known quantity. Yeah.
Anyway,
so that's what I was getting at.
Next gen breaking through.
Yep. Anyway, carry on.
Thank you. But we're here today. Yes, living generously is our topic for the last few weeks and here at Werribee Baptist Church for the last few Sundays. And today we are talking about professional skills, careers, knowledge, and being generous with those in church and community worlds. And also just a little bit of going the other direction with church life and our faith and being generous with that in the secular world, I suppose.
Mm. Is it called the secular world? I think so. Or the professional world?
The real world?
The real world. This isn't the real world.
Who knows where that might go. Stay out of that rabbit hole. Yeah. But as a little bit of an introduction, this is Beck's first time on the podcast.
If we're going professional, I'm Rebecca.
Oh, okay.
At work, actually.
That's the email, Rebecca Young.
It's Rebecca Young.
Right, okay, Rebecca.
But you can call me back.
Thanks. What is it that you do?
Oh, what is it that I don't do? No, I am a teacher by trade, but currently an assistant principal at a local public school, Prep to 9, in Wyndham. Growth corridor, huge enrollments, lots of transient families, just the many hats, I guess, that comes with working in a school at the moment. Not so much teaching anymore, but leading and upskilling and coaching and managing and administrating.
The grown-ups, not the kids.
That's just the staff. No. Wow. It is honestly, every day is different. But love it to bits every single day.
Do you miss the little kiddies?
I still get to see the little kitties. So at the moment I'm head of prep to 2, so I do get to see the really cutesy ones every single day.
Tie their shoelaces?
No, I don't do that.
No?
No, I have a rule. No. Any teacher will tell you.
You've got to educate Stan.
Any teacher will tell you never tie a shoelace.
Why? Well, I got to know.
If they ask you, go down and tie up their shoelace and it's wet.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
We don't tie shoelaces. Yeah, so very quickly. I would tell graduate teachers to put a shoelace monitor in place.
A shoelace monitor.
Yes. Lucky
so they tie each other's shoes.
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
That was the shoelace monitor. Oh, yeah. Wow.
It's a big responsibility. But
anyway, assistant principal of prep to 2.
How did we get there?
It was the little ones. I absolutely love being with the kids and I go into classrooms on a daily basis. I know pretty much the name of every child that is under me. It's not that I don't get to be with them. I'm just not with them full time in a classroom anymore.
So fun question for both of you then, knowing that. What would you be doing if you weren't doing what you're doing right now?
Oh, easy.
Okay.
Disney princess.
Oh, like as in dress up at Disney World.
They're
not dressed up, are they?
When I was little, when I grow up, I want to be a Disney princess.
Yep.
And I thought that was achievable, but
got all the hallmarks of a Disney princess.
I didn't get the right into school. No. I don't know what I would do if I wasn't teaching. I feel like it would have to be something around people. It would have to be something that changed and evolved on a daily basis. I couldn't do the same job, mm-hmm. same thing every day, repetitive. Yeah.
Stan would say, come on down to Werribee Baptist Church, where same, every day same. Is a new day.
Well, yeah, well, well, it's probably very similar context.
Yeah, well, that my mind just went 14 different places. And I'm going to come back to a couple of them. But anyway, I reckon if I didn't do what I did now, I'd be a burden on society. Because I don't know how to do anything different.
Yep.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, I actually thought that I might go become a lawyer.
Okay.
Barista.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor.
Right?
No.
Very different. Oh, yeah. Yeah, or a barista.
Well, I do. Yeah, I do a bit of all that now anyway. So yeah. Right.
Yeah. You're anyway. But in your spare time, you're a umpire.
Umpire. Yep.
Umpire of.
Well, I umpire baseball, but more than baseball, I officiate gridiron.
Right.
American football.
Yeah. Right. So he jumps on the plane and goes over there, refs the game. Yeah. And then
that's it.
Back.
No. They actually do play gridiron in Australia.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think for myself, I like the outdoors, I'd probably be in like landscaping, maybe landscape architects or gardeners, something like that. I think would be a good combo of my skill sets.
And you get to do that here.
Oh, well, I did do
come
that here.
Come do my garden. Oh, wait, it's your garden.
Yeah. Right. Well, so in terms of looking back on the career for you, Beck, what, this only has a real quick answer in theory, but what kind of types of skills have you, like you can look back on now and say, oh yeah, well I've got this, I've been equipped with this now.
Okay. So I guess I look at that question as it actually wouldn't matter what the job was that I was in.
But
it's more the skills or the personality types, the Enneagrams, whatever you want to call it, that are kind of prominent or higher in me. And I think that for me, it is around creative thinking,
mm-hmm.
whether that be just thinking outside the square, or actually kind of building, making, creating. And I think that comes in really handy in a school, currently needing to just think outside the box to kind of solve problems like, you know, teacher shortages, timetabling, all of that kind of stuff.
Wet shoestrings.
And wet shoelaces, yeah.
Velcro.
Hence the shoelace monitors. Yep. I feel like that was pretty creative.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, right from an early age, I was probably pre-teaching, pre-uni, probably even in high school, you know, that the idea of leadership skills and things were always highlighted in me by others and built into, and, you know, the capacity was built there from an early age. And I had no kind of problems leading and influencing mm-hmm. people in a sense of, you know, here's what we're going to do, come and follow me and let's do it together, and people would jump on board. I'm a very collaborative person, love to get groups of people together working on the same projects and moving in the same direction. So I think that all of those things together have probably taken me from a teacher in a classroom and then kind of to the position that I am now. Just it's same, but different.
Yep.
Transferable skills, I guess.
So, Stan, taking what some of the skills and things we all have, I'm going to throw to a biblical verse here.
Uh-oh.
Okay. The Bible.
The Bible.
We do bring it out in the podcast every now and then.
Every now and then.
Yeah, we do try.
We are Bible people.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. So in, while I check my notes as to which verse I was going to read, the Romans 12:6, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you blah, 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 then go and do blah, blah, blah really well. That's the Simon.
That's the paraphrase.
That's the paraphrase.
Good job.
The Simon version.
Good job. You got it exactly right.
Yeah, a bit of yada, yada, yada in there. Yeah. So having like, you know, with what the skills Beck's learned, the biblical direction of that, how do we intersect those things for the good of the gospel?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. As she was listing off the different things that she does, my mom was thinking, okay, that's not preaching, that's not singing, so it doesn't fit in the church, right?
Right.
That's what you think. But no, it's in all seriousness, everything that you talk about there, inspiring people to come along and follow me and do this, and your desire to get things organized and done properly and in order and everything. We need those everywhere in the church and ministry in general and in Christian life, because we don't want, I think Christians may sometimes have a bad rap of not caring about structure and organization and all those things and even leadership, but actually it's a high value for us. And My mind goes back to over the last few years since I actually started pastoring the church that this podcast emanates from, is I've had conversations with both of you guys and with Beck specifically about the idea of vocational ministry. And every time I have that conversation with Beck, I say, I don't want to have this conversation with you, though, because I love what you're doing out there.
Sure.
You know, yeah. Because the skill set that she has would be brilliant and beautiful here. And we do utilize her as a volunteer. And a lot of things she's talking about, even at the school, we're putting her into our kids ministry to try to develop some things there, especially about the wet shoelaces. Sorry, that's just stuck now. It's going to be
a blown Stan's mind.
Sermon illustration one day. Yeah. Anyway,
never again.
but yeah, so it's just a natural transition. Mm. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. They think if you can't get up there and sing, if you can't get up there and preach or you know, something like that, or you can't work in the kids ministry, youth ministry, that your gifts and abilities aren't usable. Well, in Scripture, it tells us that all these different gifts, gifts of leadership and administration and mercy, you know, all fit. So yeah.
Yeah.
So to carry on a little bit there, then what can it do as us being a witness? Like, what impact can it have in the workplace and things, taking those gifts in there?
Taking the gifts into
the secular world.
Into the workplace.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, what is that witness? What does it achieve?
Right, well... Perfect example. It was when about a month ago, Beck actually, in her workplace, there was a colleague who had lost her husband, who had passed away in December. And because of her faith, she had connections here at the church, and she used her organizational skills and leadership skills and even stage presence skills on the day to provide an amazing memorial for this family. And it was beautiful and great, and many, many people from her school and the friends and everything. Most of the people that came to that funeral would not be people that would come to church.
Sure.
And so that's just a great testimony, and it allowed Beck to be up front and to show them what Christians can do for you, and it allowed our church to be a blessing to the people as well, our facilities and things. So.
And Beck, is there anything that comes to your mind other than that example that you're able to
I guess I'm really passionate about working in a secular industry. I guess I kind of grew up in a sense in ministry from kind of my teenage years. My mum was really involved in church, and I could have very easily, you know, I went to a Christian school, could have very easily gone down the route of just kind of staying in that Christian environment. But I was really, really passionate about being in the secular industry, I guess, the idea of being, you know, a light in a dark place. And I mean, no matter where you are, whether it's in a church, in a Christian school, there is absolutely always going to be a group of people with need. But I guess in the area that I'm teaching I can see that there is such a need. Not just for Christ, but just for love and compassion and for care. And me being there, I feel like is the beginning of me being able to serve them and give them that. And that's just the families. That's not to mention the staff that I'm getting to kind of witness to on a daily basis. I mean, I've been able to invite people along to Wonder each year. And staff will come along, plenty of people. And you know, I work for a government department agency where I'm not necessarily allowed to really kind of to speak the gospel and speak my mind openly in a work setting. However, like I have so many people come and ask me, you know, for prayer or for advice, or can I ask you a question about this? Or, hey, I've been following your church on YouTube, or, hey, I saw you post something on Instagram and I've been following and you're talking about this Bible plan thing. Like, you know, how do I get that?
Right.
So I've actually at work, when wow. requested, have been able to sit with somebody and actually help them download the YouVersion,
yep.
the Bible app on their phone and things. So for me, that's kind of those moments. So that's why I'm here.
And now when hundreds of people hear this in the yeah. podcast, they're going to be lining up back. Can you show me the Bible
app? Can you show me how to do that? So, yeah. So, and I'll happily do that.
But no, it's so beautiful. And I sincerely mean that when I've tried to recruit back sort of, I always back away because she's doing such a fantastic job in the secular world. She's a great witness out there. Yeah. And yeah, it's not for everybody. Mm. You know, there are great teachers, Christian schools and everything.
Absolutely.
But some people, I believe you're one of them, are called into that space.
Yeah.
And it's an actual ministry that you get paid for.
Yeah.
You know, vocational job and everything.
Yep.
But it's a beautiful thing.
And I guess I take that part of it really seriously as well. Obviously, the job is why I'm there and the kids and things are why I'm there. But I do have that kind of extra little, I guess, calling on the back of that. That, you know, being in that space and the fact that I'm there for a reason and in that place at this time.
Right.
And that's, I like all of that because one of my questions was going to be what the people that don't have the cookie cutter skills to drop into a church like a vet.
Yeah, right.
Or a truck driver.
Yes.
Or something, right? Like,
that's true.
You know, these kind of careers are like, well, how do I take that into the church? But it's actually what we're getting at is there's so many other character-driven skills. Yep.
Just don't ask me about a vet. A vet?
Right, you know, if there's any vets in the church, come and ask Stan.
Yeah.
What you can do, right? I'm sure there are skills that you use in veterinary medicine, though, that are transferable.
Absolutely.
Just maybe not with
the empathy,
hugging
though.
Cats and dogs.
The empathy that you would need to deal with when, you know. Mm-hmm.
Herding cats is like herding kids.
herding wet shoelaces.
Yeah. So what are some barriers to using our skills in the church setting? I was trying to think through this question. Like what, you know, I guess one of the things for me, one of the things that came to mind for me is I'm not a industry trained production technician person that's working on big concerts. But I could imagine, having already experienced it here in the role here, wandering into a church, being used to working on $50,000 this and $100 million that, and then not being able to use, you know, like that barrier of like, how can I bring my skill down to the consumer level?
Yeah.
Like, is that a, would that resist, would somebody resist doing that? Are there barriers to bringing these skills into the church?
Well, certainly. I think you're going to have a mix of people. Everybody's different. Some people are going to come in and they've done the million-dollar stuff, and they're going to be frustrated, and they're going to want the church to spend money on those things. And then, of course, you've got everybody else in the church that are going to say, "Don't spend $2 on the light." But
or everybody spend $10,000.
Right. So you're going to have those people. But I think more than not, people. First of all, they don't realize that what they're doing actually could be used in a church setting because churches have lights and sound and multimedia and streaming and all that stuff. And they would look at the church thing and it would be probably a fair bit simpler than what they are used to and everything. Yep. And I think that would be energizing for them because the pressure would be less. Even though the stakes are high and it's very important and what we produce is a great product and everything, we want that. Mm. That's a value for us as excellence. Mm. But they could do it probably with their eyes closed a bit, other than the frustrations of having to gaffer tape everything together sometimes.
Yeah, turn it off and on again. And I'd probably add to that, you know, just staying in this specific career example, I guess, the opportunity for them to upskill everybody else.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
As volunteers.
As the coach in me and the mentor in me kind of says, you've got the opportunity to build the capacity of the people here who are not necessarily working in your industry but are just potentially a little bit, you know, intrigued by it or kind of want to help out. So, being able to bring your skill, and it might not be that you're working at the level of where you're at, but you might be building up five other people under you. And that is... That excites me.
And you may have access to used stuff that might be cheap too. So.
Yeah, we won't say no to that.
A bit of context and networks there. So Stan, on the Sunday just gone when we were recording this podcast, you talked about ownership and stewardship of our gifts and not even just of our everything. Gifts, of everything. The money we've been blessed with. And the
everything
time
on the planet is God's,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yep. And how we use that. So how does that impact, you know, we talk about all these skills we have, all these skills I have. Is it more so it's what we should be doing is all these skills God has given.
Mm. Yep.
And then how does that impact how we use them?
Wow. Well, as soon as you understand that it's not about you, but it's stuff that God has given you, there's so many facets to this. There's your stewardship. It's like, okay, God gave me that, so it's His, and I've got to steward it well. I got to take care of it. I need to protect it, but I also need to use it well. But then there's also, it eliminates pride, you know, from getting in the way. It's like, okay, anything I'm good at, well, that's God. And, you know, anything I'm doing poorly, that's because I'm messing it up and I'm not doing what God wants me to do, you know, that kind of thing. So I think those are a couple of areas that's really important. But the biggest one is if you got something, if God's gifted you, if He's given you, or He's given you resources, if He's given you finances, if He's given you, you know, a great house that could host a life group or, you know, whatever He's given you, you really need to think hard about not using that. You know, if you're not using that for Him, then you got to ask, why am I not using that for Him? Why did He give it to me? That might be a really good question. Why did He give me this?
Yeah, I agree. We kind of, I mean, even early on in our marriage, we were both at uni. We, you know, finances were kind of tough, and straight at the right at the start of that time, we were kind of looking at, right, we might not have the money, you know, to be able to throw at things, but like what else could we throw? So then it was all right, our time and let's get involved in this and let's get involved in that. And we had we were renting a house at the time that we were able to actually open up. We had a house church running, and it was that kind of thing that we were, you know, it was about using what we had. And obviously you know, gain, and whether it's knowledge or resources along the way. I guess just reevaluating over and over, like, what have I got? Where am I currently? What could I be doing with it? How could I better be serving
so God with it? Is it strong enough language to say, are reasons excuses? Like, these are the reasons that I haven't got, you know, people around in my house, or these are the reasons that I haven't got that. Do we need to see those as excuses and then change our lifestyles to turn them into.
For instance, you say about the house, the house size. I mean, you guys were doing a house church when you were renting a small place, you know, that, you know, so that's going to blow this out. But some people's houses probably aren't really set up to equip a small group or a life group of 20 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would be actually a reason.
Yeah.
But they could also stick their hand up and say, you know what, we can't host, but we can facilitate.
Sure.
Know, or things like that. So if you're not involved in a life group at all because your house is too small, well, that's an excuse.
Yep.
If you're not hosting it at your house, that's a reason.
Okay.
So it could be. Yeah, there's valid ways both times, but I think most of the time we're going to lean towards making excuses.
Yeah, we're pretty good at that.
and one of my heroes in leadership and church ministries, his name's Craig Gershell, and he said, you can make progress or you can make excuses, but you can't make them both.
Right.
Yeah. It's good.
So, okay, I've got another verse for you here. The Bible twice in the episode. Ooh. Twice. We do pretty good. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Are we allowed to say no?
Are we allowed to say no?
Like if we're at capacity, man, we've got no time. Yeah. I've got this. I can't do this. Can we say no?
Yeah, you can say no to anyone except me.
Yeah, oh, okay. All right. Which is why I'm here.
No. Yeah. So sometimes you actually should say no. Mm. And I've actually talked about this in a church context before, that there are people in the church who are actually serving too much, where they're involved in too many ministries, and you can even observe potentially the neglect of family and other things in their life because they're just so passionately committed to church. In fact, I was talking to somebody who wants to get more involved this year. They want to be a high-capacity person. And I challenged this person about their spouse. I said, so where's your spouse with all this?
Right.
You know, and it was like, you know, I said, well, it can't be, it's got to be, love your heart, love your passion, but bring the spouse along with you. At least get them affirming and you know, on board with this. So there's times you should say no. If someone asked me to lead worship on Sunday, I should say no, right? Because that's not my gift.
Beck's laughing in agreement.
Right. I was just thinking about the sound tech who might just, you know. Hey. I mean, you could do it, but if we have the right people in the right jobs, it would sound great.
So that's talking time and talking misplaced talent.
Yep.
What about, like, I do it all week. It's hard to do it again on the weekend.
I've been there. Yep. When I was a graduate, you know, and you're with kids, and this was before my own kids, but, you know, you're with kids 5 days a week as a teacher, and there's that idea of, like, I don't think I could bring myself to doing it one more day. I just can't. And I guess, yeah, I mean, at the start that was a job. But then what I think I had to learn really quickly was where my passions were versus where, you know, my time card was. Mm-hmm. And I was actually really passionate about children and making sure that they were being, you know, instilled with knowledge and at school, but then I guess in a kids' mean capacity as well. So being able to, I guess, realign, and that goes back to the previous question, and that comes down to priorities. And I think as long as you can weigh up, you know, the options and prioritize, and do they align with your values, and do they align with, you know, your passions? And I think for me, one of those was kids. So it was a bit of a slap in the face to God for me to say, I'll do it for 5 days a week and get paid for it, but I'm not going to do it on a Sunday because, you know, I can't do it one more day.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a passion of mine, then my priorities are out and I need to make sure I do it on the Sunday. And in fact, it did fill my cup and I really enjoyed it. It was very different to the school setting. Yeah.
Wow. That's You went there hard. That's good. I love that because I was going to be more generous and gracious to those teachers and things that say I can't do it another day a week.
Well, it's funny. It's easy. I think my brain naturally went to the teacher and kids one because it's such a common struggle versus like, say, even the example I used before, an AV tech all week long coming and doing it again. But I think we've covered a lot of other skills that could still come in as well, even if it wasn't the teacher going into the kids' space.
Yeah.
A barista.
Mm. Well, a barista manager that's got lots of leadership skills space that needs a leader is a good hole to fill as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, what were you
going to say? No, I was going to say, like, even with the teacher, I could actually get if you're in a classroom 5 days a week, 25 kids, and then we say we want you to go to Kinder Zone. And there's 25 kids, and that's you, especially if you're not as passionate about it for those reasons, because there are teachers that do it as a job.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you still do have skill sets and abilities that came along with that. And maybe it's in teacher training.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's Beck is our church, our child safety officer in our church, and she's investigating some things and all that about to make sure we're doing everything well. But it's also going to be true that as she's looking for child safety issues, she's also going to see practical things that she can just tell somebody, hey, this is a skill that I have that I could teach you. And they're going to make that, she's going to make them better kids leaders because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But she may not practically be doing kids ministry.
Yeah, correct.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it's exactly the same as what I'm doing right now. So being an assistant principal, I'm not in the classrooms. I'm not there, but I'm living it and I'm in it every day. So it's not currently serving in the kids min, but I'm in and around it and kind of, looking at, I guess, ways that we can tighten things up and make things better, more effective, more like it's amazing. And we have a great kids program here. But I know we talk about this a lot, but just in general, one of the things I'm really passionate about in lots of different spaces is just how can we make it better? How can we make it better?
Relentlessly.
So much so, just how can we make it better? So that's kind of where I come at a lot of things from.
So Stan, if there's listeners, watchers, and they're like, well, where do I start? How do they actually, for them to bring their skills into the church in particular, how do we find out about them? Where do they start?
All right. So if we're talking to our church audience here right now or any church, I would suggest that they let the leadership know that they want to figure this out.
Yeah.
In our church context, we actually have a course for this called Find Your Fit. People take the course and then it identifies how they're wired and gifted and made and everything. And then we can follow them up and point them in the right directions. But the biggest thing I would tell them is get in somewhere and try it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's how you're going to find. And you may try to be an AV tech, and that may not be you. Mm-hmm. You try it a few weeks, and you think, okay, this is just, you know.
Too many buttons.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or you try the greeting team, and you actually figure out you don't like people, or, you know, those kind of things. Yep. But just try something, and you will, by trial and error, end up landing on what fills your tank and, mm-hmm. and where you're gifted. So,
yeah. Yep. And I'd probably also add, not in every scenario, but in many scenarios, different people will have an issue with something, or they'll have spotted a hole somewhere mm-hmm. with something. Quite often, it's a hole that they recognize because they're good at whatever is missing.
They know it.
Yeah. So I'd say that as well, that if mm-hmm. you know, there's this thing that really annoys you all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like, well, you might be the one called to fix that. Be a little noisier in the feedback or whatever it might be, or rather than don't bring the problem, bring the solution, right? Like, rather than just venting.
Yeah.
I like to say, if you've got the burden, you got the job.
Oh, there you go.
I think also we have to start with
until you figure out that you're the totally wrong person.
Well, that kind of is exactly what I was going to say. I think sometimes we have to have courage enough to try something and know that it might not work. I tried being on a camera once, and I've got ADHD, so I don't do much for long periods of time. And the worship was great. Like, I could track on the camera for that. And then, you know, I had actually Simon switching and asking me, you know, I was essentially asleep on the camera. Like, it just was not the right job for me and for the way that my mind works. So within a couple of tries of that, like, that's not the space for me.
And we actually moved you in that context onto the switcher,
which actually really worked because it's so fast and you're kind of having to make decisions on the spot and change the camera angles. And so that was great. And I actually love that. And I had no audio visual training. That was just something that worked well for me in the way my brain was wired.
But because you did spend that couple weeks on the camera, now as a switcher, you can appreciate what the camera people are having to
do. Right. Yeah. And it helps
me. So it wasn't wasted.
Yeah, it actually, you're right. And it does help me kind of train and talk to the camera people while I'm doing that.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm out of questions.
Oh.
And we're out of time.
Okay. Time flies.
Yeah, time does fly. Yeah. But that's really good. We like to finish off with a bit of a challenge application. We're starting that. Last week was encouraging people to do one more extra nice thing for somebody, an act of generosity in some way. Hopefully everybody did that and can tell us about it. That'd be fun. But for this week, what I thought we could do is think about, like, can we identify the skill or the hole or the missing piece or what we can bring, and then action it. Like, let's all try and really think of, if you're not already in an active serving thing, or think about your profession, what you might be able to bring to the church, to the gospel, and the other way around. What can we, you know, what might I have picked up at church or in my faith journey that I can take into my workplace?
Yeah, I love that. And you're right, it does go the opposite way. There's absolutely things that I've learned here at church that I've been able to then go and implement in a school setting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's good.
Like, love God and love people, right?
That's it.
And you can go to the school setting.
Do both of those.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we would love to hear what those are. I'm going to press this.
Oh, yeah. Wrong one.
No.
Oh, okay. You're cheering.
I'm applauding you guys.
Applauding back. Yay,
yeah,
back.
Yeah, we can thank back. And then I'm going to press this one.
There you go.
That gets us a little music. And I can press that one as well for another applause. Thank you for being with us on The Elaborators.
Thank you, Beck.
Thank you, Pastor Stan, for coming back.
No worries.
Everyone can comment and like and share. And hey, do the sharing, because people see it outside of your circle. It expands, and then you might get questions asked.
Then people might ask you to download the Bible app.
Yeah, maybe.
You never know where it might go. So pay attention to our socials. Let us know what's going on.
And don't touch any wet shoelaces.
Yeah,
don't touch any wet shoelaces.
No.
Wow.
Get yourself a monitor.
All right.
Find a monitor.
That can be the headline of this podcast. Steer clear of the shoelaces. Bye, everybody.